Das Anliegen ist Gottes Meisterwerk, der Aufbau des Leibes Christi in der Vision und in der Wirklichkeit. Ja, wir fangen an damit oder setzen von der Winterkonferenz fort über Gottes Meisterwerk. Und dieses Meisterwerk, wie es hier schon im Titel heißt, ist der Leib Christi, die Gemeinde. Ja, so wenn wir darüber sprechen, hoffe ich, dass alle auch offen sind, Ohren und Herzen haben für das weitere Sprechen des Herrn. Ich habe manches auch gehört, da sagen dann welche, ja, es geht immer um die Gemeinde. Gäb's nicht mal was, vielleicht ein anderes Stück der Schrift. Aber wir können es nicht lassen, von dem zu reden, was wir gesehen und gehört haben. Es juckt mich dann auch schon zu argumentieren, ja, ist bei euch, die ihr das sagt, ist da der Aufbau schon vollendet? Seid ihr schon zur Reife gekommen? Aber das bringt alles nichts. So. Wir wollen nicht diskutieren. Vielmehr bitte ich doch in aller Demut und Sanftmut, dass wir unsere Herzen dem Herrn öffnen und ihn bitten, das, was auf seinem Herzen ist, auch in unsere Herzen zu geben. Ja, die Gemeinde ist nämlich ein Geheimnis. Das Geheimnis, was sehr, sehr lange.
The church is a mystery. The church was a mystery that was hidden in God. Ephesians 3, verse 5, it is said that in other ages, other generations was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit, who has revealed this mystery in spirit. And in verse 9, it says, the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. It's a matter of revelation. And it's important that all things pertaining to God are always a matter of revelation. A hymn, you can just sing it. An instrument, you can play. A book can be read. A film can be watched. But what about God? In Mark
11:27. Heute gibt es so viele Vorstellungen über Gott. Den Vater kennt niemand als nur der Sohn und wem der Sohn ihn.
Nobody knows the Father except for whom the Son may reveal. So human wisdom. I praise you that you have revealed this to the minor ones, the off-age ones, and not revealed this to the wise. The Lord does not say much here about that. Also, only in Matthew 16, verse 18, on this rock I will build my church. And this church is a mystery. It is something hidden, but it's very specific. It's real. In chapter 18, verse 17, here he speaks about problems with a brother, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So to the church you can say something, and someone should listen to the church. So this is not just a teaching. that we have a teaching about the church, and we will speak about the church, but we need revelation for that. We not only want a vision, but we want the reality. I would like to stop right now, afterwards, for you to give the time to you to come to the Lord, each one for himself, and to implore him to that he grant you something to make a deal with the Lord. And I want to stress that the Lord wants to reveal himself. It's an urgent need. He wants to give revelation. In Colossians 1:26, it is said, the mystery which was hidden from the ages and from their generations now has been revealed to his saints. He wants to reveal this to his saints, but there is one small prerequisite. He doesn't reveal it somehow to anyone, but to his saints. We are his saints and we belong to him. And he wants to reveal this to us. To them, God wanted to make known. God wants to make known. And in Matthew, we had read that the Son wants to reveal, but how? How can you receive revelation? The next verse is then about the rest. How can you get rest? The Lord says, come to me. How can we receive life when we are dry and dead? Come to me. Lord, I come to you. And this way we come to him to receive revelation. Let me just stop short here right now. Just take a moment. Turn yourself inwardly to the Lord. Speak with him. Just shortly. Yes, Lord Jesus, we pray for revelation. Lord, you like to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see your Christ in this wonderful mystery, Lord. Yes, we need prayer to receive revelation. We will have fellowship about that also in this conference. And then it is said in verse 4, in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already. So it's also a matter of reading. Revelation comes from the Word. When we read it with a praying heart and an open spirit, then we receive revelation through the Word. Ephesians, we've so much talked about it already. Can't we talk about something else? Well, how many times have we read it already? 100 times? 500 times? Read the scripture, then revelation will come. I'd like to motivate you in these days. I know it, but it's also a matter of reading with an open heart, with a turned heart. Then the Lord will take away the veils. And then you can receive an understanding. The Word will also give us the proper understanding. We need a healthy, clear understanding about the church. Today, there are so many different understandings of what the church is. What is your understanding of what the church is? What is your teaching? And what is your teaching about the church. And then there are these big churches. They have their understanding of what the church is. But there is much mingling, much mixture, impurity. What is the church, though, that the Lord has planned and that He will build? I will build my church, He said. We need a clear understanding of that. And then there's the pastoral system. If this is the way how the Lord wants to build His church, then, of course, we need to take this way. If it's not the way, then we better don't take this way. But what is the way how the Lord wants to build His church? We should seek this and see it and understand it, and then we should do it. Well, it's quite obvious that the big systems are not the way. But then there is this understanding of teaching, of doing a home meeting church. If this is the way how the Lord wants to build His church, then let us do home meeting churches. Let us build them. What is the way, according to the scripture, how to build the church? Lord, show it to us. Reveal it to us. And write it on our hearts, and then we practice it accordingly. And this mystery was hidden for so long time, since the generations, but now it has been revealed to His apostles and prophets in spirit. Verse 6 now, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. This mystery has very much got to do with the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And I would like to talk about that a little bit more. And for us to see and understand what the church for the Lord is, it's not just that we come together here, but the church is the body of Christ. And when we see, first of all, the church as the body of Christ, then it's important to see also that the church is one. Each person, this may sound strange for you, each person has just one body. Right? Each person exists just one time. I am one here, right? And each one of you is just one person, and he's unique, right? And the body of Christ, the same, is just one. Just let me just read Romans to you. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. For it's 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 20, we're just one body, right? In verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. We are many here, right? But when we look at the body, it's just one. That's how the Lord sees us.
Das hatten wir ja auch schon am Ende von Kapitel 1, Vers 23, die Gemeinde.
In Ephesians, we have already read that the church, which is his body, the Lord just has one body, which is the church, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. How did this body come forth? It is written in verse 16, through the cross, to reconcile both to God through the cross. This is really something that the Lord has done on the cross. This we said in connection with a masterpiece. This is unique on the cross. The Lord has created this body, this one man, this new man. It's not like a mobile phone or a car. They are made from old material, from existing material, but the body that was produced on the cross, it terminates all that comes from man and produced something completely new. And he made of both, he made one. And he tore down the wall of separation, that is the enmity. He made peace and tore down all walls of partition. So separations are in the human realm, enmities, but the Lord has terminated that on the cross. Human beings, if they cannot get along with each other, they tend to separate. But this destroys the oneness of the body. What is the contrary of oneness of the body? What is terrible for the body when the body is separated, when a member is separated and there is separation, division in the body? But what is also terrible, awful, before outward separation and division takes place, that is when we are individualistic. Our individualism, yes, the church where I am, this is a good church, except for some brothers there. The church where I am, that is the church, that's correct. But there are sisters, some have problems with the leading ones. If this brother was not around, then the church would be wonderful. What kind of thinking is that? Where does that come from? From the top? From the heavens? Then I may ask you, well, you think that this brother is not part of the body, doesn't belong to the body? Did God make a mistake? Do you know it better than God? Are you his counselor? This is the I. Well, if we look at the work of God, he tore down all the walls. He took upon himself all the separation, all the enmity, and brought it to the cross. And that we could be reconciled, and we don't want to be reconciled with the other one. And it's not only damaging the Lord, but it's also especially damaging yourself.
Da hat nichts
In the body, nothing human can be here. It finishes with everything that is human. And the church will not be built with human elements and human opinions and human means, but it is God's choice and God's order. In February, I was reading Deuteronomy, and this really talked to me in chapter 12, verse 8. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For that's Deuteronomy 12. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you, and so on. I wanted to read verse 4. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. Yes, God wants to dwell somewhere, and he determines where he wants to dwell. And then verse 11 again. Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And in verse 13, take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see. The Lord has a clear concept and just one place, and this has got to do with geography. And this can also be seen in the New Testament. The church is the body of Christ, and the body is one. And if this body of Christ can be divided, it's not by human things, not by humans that find that they are so important themselves, make themselves so important, and they have a certain view of certain teaching or certain special practice which can be found in the scripture. These are all human things. This can never be a reason to separate the body of Christ. If we are separated, and this is God's way, these are just local reasons. We are here in Stuttgart, you are in Göppingen, right? But we are all the body of Christ. And in that locality where we live, we represent the body of Christ. Let us choose God's way. Praise the Lord. And there is more to be seen in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and so many members are one body, so also is the Christ. The word says that we are many, but we are one. We are one body, and this body is Christ. Everything that is Christ in us makes up this body. I'm really happy that the body is Christ. And one other description from the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:17. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. And in the Lord's table, we practice that. We just display one loaf, which represents the Lord, and we partake of this one bread. Everybody gets part of it. And then if we could put all these pieces of the bread together again, then we would have one bread. So this is a concept or an idea, a symbol, and the Lord helps us by these symbols. And it's important to see that the Lord is concerned with the body, and the body is one. I brought another symbol to show you here, glass plates. These are object carriers from laboratories, from science. And these represent each individual believer. Each, in just as a matter of symbol, each one of these object carriers are one believer. And when we receive the Lord comes into our heart, and then we are enlivened and we become members of his body, right? And each object carrier can receive some water. I can put on it some water, right? But an object carrier is limited in its capacity. Only a little bit of water it can receive, right? Not the fullness. It has got the full Christ, but not the fullness. And each one is made rich. But they are still just individual object carriers. But what should these object carriers do then now? The best would be they came together. This is still good, but then they are still only individual object carriers, and I cannot fill so much water into them. Many believers together are not necessarily such one body and that can receive the fullness. So what can you do? What else could you do? You could also put these object carriers into a sequence. Here. Is that the built-up church? Can you fill something into here? They are prettily and nicely sequenced and nicely labeled. If I took these object carriers, these glass plates, and if we could melt them and merge them into one recipient to make a glass, which is three-dimensional, each one of us has received the Lord, but we are just two-dimensional. But the church, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all, is three-dimensional. This can contain the fullness. If we see more, we should see more. May we see more. We all often only see us, I, me, and myself. How am I? How am I doing? What do I need? The Lord gave himself for his church, for his body, to receive his body, to obtain his body. And everything belongs to the body. And the body is even the first thing, 1 Corinthians 7, 7:27. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, it is also said, one body and one spirit. And on the cross, the Lord created that body. And we see how the churches were produced, and they preached the gospel, and all those who got saved were added to this body. The gospel went out from the body and was intended for the body. I just want to stress how the body of Christ is this mystery, and the church is the body of Christ. And the Lord wants to fill all and in all. Now, what is the difference between the body and Christ? Christ is the head, and Christ is the body. And in Ephesians, it is clearly said that the church is subjected to Christ. As the church, the body is subjected to the head. He is the head. Everything comes out of him and unto him, and we grow into this head. And the whole fullness can be found in the body. One glass carrier here can have a wonderful experience of the Lord of the highest kind. Sometimes I listen and I said, wow, something's missing to me. But the highest spiritual experience compared with the whole fullness of Christ in the body, it cannot be compared. Some strive so much for sanctification and sanctity, and they have got standards that no one can comply with. But where is the body? Sanctification is in the body. Not that I can prove how nice I am. Everybody has to pursue sanctification, the whole body, and in peace, be in peace. This is written in Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 14, 15. The fullness of righteousness is in the body. Each one needs the Lord as his righteousness, but the fullness of righteousness can be found in the body. I know somebody who said, I know only one just person on this earth, and he meant a certain brother on this earth. Yes, maybe. Maybe he was a just person, a righteous person, according to his own standards of righteousness. And he's so righteous, he cannot get along with others. He's not one with others. And this is just human. Let us see that righteousness is just himself. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And the fullness of this righteousness is the body. And we pursue this righteousness. Faith also. Through faith we were saved. It's God's gift. It's not out of yourself. I have faith, and the body has faith. And what do you think, what this produces, if the whole body has faith, if we come and arrive at the oneness of the faith, this would be wonderful if we come to a full knowledge of the Son of God. If I seek the Lord and read the Bible and I read it and I pray, Lord, show me, and then I come to the meeting and I read the same word, the fullness is in the body. It's much richer. Yes, I would like to give us this awareness, to sharpen this awareness, that we are a bit more conscious of this body. All things that happen to us, all our experience that we have, has got to do with the body. In Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body. And this was written in the context of marriage. Yes, our relationships with each other is what's talked about here. It's talking about nourishing and cherishing. That has got to do with the body. Christ nourishes and cherishes the body, the church. and our marriages, the oneness in the marriages, how we lead our marriages, how we take care of each other has got to do with the building up of the body. And when we get married, this furthers, this promotes the building up of the body. In Ephesians, it's even made more practical. Children and parents are described. All can experience the head, the parents and the children. Sometimes it's difficult, right? You know it better than your older parents, right? I sometimes listen that I live behind the moon, my children told me. That was their rebellious nature. When they said that, they learned. And they put the old things to the cross. Everything has go to the cross that doesn't correspond to the Lord. Our individualism, our opinions and concepts, so that the body can be filled with Christ. Also the parents. It says that, the scripture says that, fathers, don't irritate your sons. Don't make them angry. Here also Ephesians talks about work, about labor. And it's often said not to please man. That means that all you do, do from the heart unto the Lord. It has got to do with the Lord, and our labor has got to do with the building up of the church. But which work is it? Which measure do you have to accomplish? Where do I go to work? Do I want to build up the body of Christ? Some are strong, and they moved to places where there was no church, but they gave themselves for the building up of the church, and today there is a church. But otherwise, it's better to go to a place where there is a church and to strengthen the building up. These are some details. We will enter into more details of that. I just wanted to show that our life and how we shape our life can promote the building up of the church or can make it rest, can prevent the building. If we grow together unto all the fullness of God, or can the Lord have to do the, does the Lord have to wait and cannot fill his fullness into this vessel of the church? For me, I want to say that our lives and our church lives, may it be big or small, should be seen in the great context of God's view, as Christ sees his body, and also the church has a central meaning and position in God's whole work and plan. And therefore, Ephesians 3 says from verse 8 on, here Paul uses a special word, the word economy. To bring to light what is the economy of the mystery. The word economy is being used in the economic area these days, but this is the modern conception, modern meaning of this word. We can neglect that now. The original meaning of economy, as it is used in the scripture, is a very special meaning. Economy consists of two parts, which is first oikos, which means house, And the second is namas, which means law, rule, administration, regulation, directive. So this is God's household directive, you can say, household plan. God has ordained, prepared, and determined so many things and provided, planned for that. This reminds us of the masterpiece created in Christ, which for good works, which Christ has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What has the Lord prepared beforehand? In this context here, it is said, God who created all things. I want to say this wonderful creation, everything's blossoming, starting to blossom right now, right? In spring. This is so wonderful. But everything was created so that God could have his church.
Das ist auch in Vers 2.
And in verse 2, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Here it is translated as dispensation, which was given to me for you. God has a whole economy of grace. He causes this grace in portions, in parts, in so many different ways can be given to us. This is the economy of God, which has to do with Christ. And Christ came and became flesh, came in the flesh. And he created all things for that. And then Christ came, and in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And then Christ accomplished such a wonderful work on the cross. And the result was that we both have access in one spirit to the Father, in which we have, in chapter 3, boldness and access with confidence to him in faith. Let us take this access with confidence through his faith. And this economy of God's grace, this is a work. I'm lacking of words. He prepared so much, and so that it could come to us and be dispensed to us. It's difficult also this to translate this word in other languages. Just use economy. It's not just a word for us. It's a whole household plan that God has devised, everything that he has done, everything that he's dispensing, everything that he's working comprises this economy. Some translated with fellowship, but it's more than fellowship, actually. It's more than that. It's God's stewardship. Everything that he has made available, this is so much. It's Christ in his whole fullness, everything that he has done. And then in Ephesians 2, we had read in the last conference that this is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Christ is the cornerstone, and we are being built together. Fitted together in this building, that this building is growing. So this economy of God's body works that the body of Christ may grow. It's my concern to see that the body grows in every church, everywhere. There should not be stagnation or going back. Lord, give growth to your body. God has prepared everything. He has devised a whole stewardship for that. Can we lay hold of that? The church is so important. It is the mystery. It is the economy of the mystery. He prepared everything and made it available for the building up of his church. And And we will be built up, we are being built up into a dwelling place of God in spirit. This belongs also to the economy of this mystery. And until we all arrive at the oneness, chapter 4, verse 13, arrive at the oneness of the faith. This is possible, and God wants this, and we also want it. Lord, bring us to the oneness of the faith, of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to unto a full-grown man, unto the fullness of Christ. And if this happens, and this is being done right now, this economy, this dispensation, this stewardship of God is being carried out right now. And then in chapter 3, verse 10, it is said, to the intent that now the multifarious wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers. If the body is one, isn't that wonderful if we all members are one in the body and we are being knit together? We put off the old things. We put it into death, our comfort, our inertness, our laziness and sluggishness and our imperfection. Where we think that we are strong, then the Lord can fill us and can knit us together and keeps us together, and we hold fast to the head and grow into the head and submit to the head. Isn't that wonderful if the Lord has people who are subject to Christ, where he can be head and that are knitted together in him, that are filled with him and that represent him and that he can send, he can move through them in harmony, in completion and perfection. People that were controlled before by the enemy, were dominated by the ruler of this darkness, and who were focused on the world. We are now focusing on Christ, on his body, on the new man. We let our mind be renewed and we cooperate with him. Lord, your body on this earth. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, your body, your church, people, human beings in oneness that live Christ and that express him. This is what he wants to make known and what he is making known right now. Praise the Lord. And when the enemy wants to bring in other things, we refuse that. Lord, I refuse that. There were many things to prepare for the conference, and I tried to remember everything, and I said, oh, it's so tiring, Lord. And I told the Lord, Lord, I refuse it to do it in myself. I want to serve out of the strength that you dispense, and this is a completely different service. I just get connected to the supply coming from the head. If the Lord can gain such a body, I want just to give you an appetite for that. It's so wonderful. Human beings that are one with a head who is in control over everything and under which, whose feet was put everything and who does everything for his church. Then the church grows and Christ will be seen in the built-up church, and the church is filled with him, and she will be his counterpart. And then his will and purpose with man will be fulfilled. Let me read first Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and so on, over everything that is creeping on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And they should reign, have dominion on earth. And Christ is a type of Adam, and Eve is a type of the church. Praise the Lord for Christ and the church. He created them as man and woman, and they should have dominion. And the Lord wants to have and gain such a church, and we give ourselves to that in all localities where we are. Lord, build your church with us. Fill your body with you, yourself. I am ready, Lord. Make me willing to pay every price. God works the willing and the accomplishing for his good pleasure. It's his economy. And this built-up church will also be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. He has put all things under his feet in Ephesians 1:22. Christ was given to the church as head over all things. To the church who is his body in Ephesians 6, we see the whole armor of God. I don't say anything about that. I just mention it so that to the principalities, the evil spirits in the heavens, they resist the church, fights against them, and she may withstand and accomplish what the Lord wants. We stand firmly. May the Lord renew our revelation, make it deeper. Those who stand see that they don't fall. We need this revelation, whether we are new in the church life, whether we came from religion or from Christianity or from the world. Lord, give us this revelation. Lord, perfect the church, complete it with us. And then Christ will make this church glorious unto himself. And then in Revelation 19:17, blessed are those who are invited. Each one is invited. Each member is necessary, no matter how old they are. It says here, it's in Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Everybody puts on Christ, but it's in oneness. It's one bride that got prepared, that prepared herself. The bride prepared herself. Each one has been called as an overcomer, but not in an individualistic way, but together, all together with all the saints that are living with us in our locality to prepare that bride. We want to satisfy the Lord, right? Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you for your love to the church. Lord, we also love you and your church. Amen. Just take this word, move it, meditate on it in your hearts, that the Lord can work many things in these days and also after them. Praise the Lord.